Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In the book of John, John 17, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer, and he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for the believers that would follow as a result of the disciples' work. And there is just this one powerful verse, and he's asking his Father to protect, to sanctify the disciples, to sanctify them by truth. And then he makes the statement, your word is truth. So where do we go to find truth in this world in which we live?
The word of God.
We have to go to the word of God. That is the revelation of truth for mankind. We have to go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So all of truth is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds this world together. So truth is found in him. Now, this is foundational. If we're going to have healthy relationships one with another, if we're going to know how to live as believers in this world, then we have to have a moral compass. We have to have a compass of truth, and we have to know where to find that truth. And that truth is in Jesus. God is the source of truth. As John wrote in the first chapter, Jesus, we saw his glory as the one full of grace and truth. Now, this is important in a recent Senate confirmation session for Pete Sessions. He was being questioned by senators as far as his confirmation as the Attorney General, I think. And there was one senator by the name of Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
So he's on the panel, and it's his turn to ask questions. And so he asked this of Sessions. He said, "In a secular person has just as good a claim to understanding the truth as a religious person, correct?"
Mm.
And here's what Sessions said. "Well, I'm not sure." Well, he said that based on his religious beliefs.
Yeah.
He believes that truth is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that truth is not relative. It's not something that we just make up to align with the spirit of the age, so to speak.
Sure.
There is truth that transcends what's happening in the world. And if we will look for that truth, then we will have something that will bring order and stability out of this chaos in which we live. There's no morality apart from the truth of God's word, is there?
Absolutely not.
So we can't have laws that matter, that mean anything to us, if we don't go to the one where truth is to be found. And this is why Sessions is so frightening to so many people, because he is abiding by the truth of the word of God. And I think it's so important for us to really discuss and to hammer this out and to recognize that our standard for truth is not what's happening out in the culture. Our standard for truth is Jesus Christ and his word.
Yes.
And if we will stick to that standard, if we will never waver from that,
yeah.
Take our stand on the word of God, then we're going to be able to experience stability, some peace, and we're going to be able to bring stability into very chaotic and hectic circumstances that we face, that every one of us face in life. If we're just going to go about it, making up stuff along the way,
yeah.
We're not going to do very well, are we,
There's
Bob?
Too much of that already.
Yeah, there really is. So I'm so grateful for this article, mm-hmm. and several people have written about it. Our good friend Larry Alex Taunton wrote about it in his blog, and I think it's important for us to really highlight because there is a battle for truth. And the world is saying, no, truth is relative. We just make it up as we go. And God is saying, no, truth transcends. There is truth that never changes. It is immutable, unshakable, and that truth can provide a solid rock for us to stand upon.
Totally unwavering. Well, this month, friends, we're offering an opportunity to get a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Everyone who steps up to help Basic Gospel keep the message going will receive one. It's your request, of course. Grace is so much more than just God's unmerited favor. You know, we've heard that probably all of our Christian lives. That's what the definition of grace is, God's unmerited favor. Well, it goes so much deeper than that. And Simple Gospel, Simply Grace will show you the way to enter into the depths of grace that God has lavished upon us in Jesus Christ. Don't miss Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Plenty of open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And Mike from Washington took the opportunity to pose a question off hours. We'd like to hear that question right now.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm in Puyallup, Washington. And I have a dear friend who has Parkinson's disease. And I believe that God still heals today. I don't know what you guys believe about that, but I know that Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, verse 21, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And I know that I'm in Christ because I received him back in the day. And I'm born again, and so I can appropriate the promises of God, whether it's the New Testament or Old Testament, and I believe in that. So my question is that true for today? Is healing true for the day? Thank you.
That's from Mike in the state of Washington.
Well, and that's an excellent question, isn't it? Because all of us have loved ones that are going through illnesses. There's probably not a family on the planet that's not suffering from some sort of illness, you know, from a loved one, or maybe you're out there now listening to this radio broadcast and you have a terminal illness. You have Parkinson's disease or cancer or something like that, and you're certainly seeking the Lord and asking him to heal you of that disease. There are families that are praying for loved ones, and Mike is praying for his friend that he will be healed of that disease. Can we claim that and know for sure that God is going to answer that prayer and bring about healing in those that we're praying for, either ourselves or for those that we love? And he brings up I think an interesting passage there, that all the promises of God are true in Jesus. So can I take that and claim healing for my friend? And we see in the Word of God that healing is never promised this side of eternity.
No.
There is no verse that we could point to. Many people will say, well, you know, back in Isaiah, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Peter repeats that in his first letter. He calls on that Old Testament passage because by his wounds we have been healed. And so many take that to be physical diseases, and certainly there is going to be total healing for us. When we get our resurrected bodies, in those resurrected bodies, there will be no such thing as disease. There will be no such thing as sickness.
Or backaches and stuff.
That's right. Mortality is going to put on the immortal.
Yeah.
The perishable is going to put on the imperishable. That's our hope in Christ. But that doesn't mean that while we're here in this world that we're not going to suffer from diseases, and that some of us are not going to die from those diseases. It's interesting. Every single person that Jesus healed in the New Testament died.
Yes.
Every single one of them. And we don't know their story after they were healed. We don't know about those lepers that were healed and
right.
cleansed. We don't know what happened to them afterwards, other than the fact that they died. that they're in a grave. Their body is in a grave somewhere, and their spirit is with the Lord. That's all we know. But we do know they went into a grave. Even Lazarus, when he called him by name and said, come out of that grave, 4 days after he had been there, Lazarus comes out. They take off his grave clothes. And that astounded people so much and infuriated the religious leaders so much that they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as killing Jesus, to get rid of the evidence, so to speak, that God has the power over death. So, but Lazarus died. He went back into a grave.
Yeah.
So we know we're going to die, and there's something that's going to put us in a grave, and more than likely it's going to be some sort of illness. So, no, we can't claim or obligate God to heal. Does that mean he doesn't heal? No, he does. He does heal. But that's at his discretion, and usually for a greater purpose, than just the physical healing, to bring about some spiritual healing. Now, when Peter uses this verse from Isaiah, he says, in his body on the cross, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So how does Peter couch the healing that he's going to be talking about in terms of forgiveness of sins? The fact that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So what is Peter talking about? What's the healing here? The healing of our souls. The fact that we can die to sin and live for righteousness. Now, we can live that way. We can live for righteousness whether we're physically well or not. Our physical health is not in this equation. You know, I can walk by faith if I'm as healthy as a horse, or I can walk by faith if I'm in a hospital bed.
Right.
I can still trust the Lord and live for righteousness. Why? Because the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has healed my soul. And I can say, as the song did, it is well with my soul. That is the healing that we're going to experience here and now.
Yeah.
We're going to die unless the Lord returns first. Probably a disease is going to kill us, but we have hope in the resurrection. One day we're going to get resurrected bodies.
That is good news.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, especially when you get that toothache or whatever, you know.
Yes.
That kind of stuff going. 844-322-2742. We have open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to have your question or your particular topic of discussion on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. My name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
How you doing today?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, that's great. I was looking at TV, and I heard a guy that was teaching from the Bible, and he was teaching that Peter and the apostles in Jerusalem, that they proclaimed a different gospel than Paul proclaimed to the Gentiles. He said that Peter and them proclaimed the gospel in Jesus' name, but Paul proclaimed the resurrection of Christ to the Gentiles. And that doesn't sound right to me, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. Is there any truth to that? It just don't sound right to me. But thanks for taking my call, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay, well, you're welcome, Aaron, and that's a great question. There is a theology out there that says that Peter preached a gospel to the Jew, and Paul preached a gospel to the Gentile, and those two are different in substance. Well, Paul answered that question in the book of Galatians. He said, there's really only one gospel, and why are you deserting the one who called you by grace for a different gospel, which is no gospel at all? So Paul really answered that question by saying there's just one gospel. So when Peter stood up and preached the good news on the day of Pentecost, guess what he talked about? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Peter wrote his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, what did he talk about? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did Paul talk about when he went out to the Gentile world? Exactly the same thing, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is the gospel that saves. There is no other gospel. So I think it's a ridiculous notion to say that there are two gospels, that God saves the Jew in one way and saves the Gentile in another way. It has always been, will always be, by grace through faith in Jesus. That's just the way it is. Now, there is talk in the Gospels about the kingdom of God. Well, it's this gospel message that grants us entry into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so when we are born again into the kingdom of God, now we're a part of His kingdom. We're no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. How did we get there? The gospel message transferred us from one to the other. Yeah. Through the gospel, through that bridge, we crossed over from death to life. And there's only one message that can do that. That is the gospel of grace. So it's interesting. If you will look through almost every book of the New Testament, most all of them end on this note: may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with His people. So Paul ends his letters with that note. So does Peter. Peter in his first letter says, this is the grace of God. I've given it to you in full. Stand firm in that grace. In his second letter, he says, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he handing out a different grace than Paul was? I don't think so. Yeah. He was talking about the Lord Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. So I think it's a ridiculous notion to say that there's two gospels. That just divides us. I think that puts enmity between Jew and Gentile, when the gospel of Jesus Christ destroys that enmity and brings us together as one. The gospel is unifying, not divisive.
Absolutely.
So let's let it unify us in Christ.
Yeah. It is the gospel that leads us into the kingdom of God, and it's the gospel that teaches us to live once we're there. And folks, keep in mind that because of what you do at Basic Gospel, we're able to reach out to people across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. You are very much appreciated, and this month we're making Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who help us with the keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and to receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to San Francisco and talk with John. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about why Jesus is called the Son of God. You know, when I try to witness to non-Christians, especially like Muslim, Hindus, Sikh people, you know, they say God does not need any children. He's God. He's the creator. He can create anybody. So why Jesus is not called like the second person of the Trinity? He's called the Son of God. And I'm having a hard time witnessing to them in that matter.
Well, he wasn't born in the sense that you and I are born. He is a part of the Godhead. So we see that Godhead being talked about from the very beginning. Let us make man in our image. Who is the us there? So we see this Trinity within the Godhead from the get-go. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting when the Word of God uses the phrase the Son of God, what it's really communicating to us is that Jesus the Son is of the same nature, the same essence as God the Father. So Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. The writer of Hebrews would say that Jesus is the express image of God the Father. So they're both of the same nature, one in being. So when it says he's the Son of God, it's really communicating to us that he's God in human flesh. Does that make sense to you?
It does. So he's God. The way I try to explain it to them, I tell them he was called God the Son because he was born of a virgin.
That's correct.
Is that a good? So that does not mean that God got married and he had Jesus.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we have to realize that Jesus existed before he was born. I mean, he was in the beginning with God, and was God, as John wrote. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. So Jesus has always existed, because God has always existed, and God has always existed as a Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And at a point in time, the Son became flesh and dwelt among us. So he just inhabited a body that his Father had prepared for him. So he was already in existence, and that's why he said to the Pharisees, before Abraham was born, I am. And they knew exactly what he was saying, and they picked up stones to stone him because he, a mere man, was claiming himself to be God.
Okay, thank you very much, Pastor. God bless you.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Miles in Calgary. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Miles.
You're talking about healing. And just a quick story. Years ago, I made decisions that, financial decisions that were basically, people would say, well, it was like you ripped up a winning lottery ticket. And coincidentally today, you know, I have this reoccurring tape in my head saying, you know, you're an idiot, or you should have done this, you should have done that. And I happen to have a dog-eared old copy of that publication you fellows put out years ago called Born Free. And I read through that, and it was just instant healing for the soul. You know, healed my mind, will, and emotions. And that's where we find that healing. You know, it's right there in the Word, and that's just what I wanted to share.
Well, thanks, Miles. That's really a very well-stated testimony, and it really gets to the very nature of the healing that God has called us, that God wants for us, and that is the healing of our souls. I think of those 10 lepers that came and asked Jesus for mercy, and Jesus healed all 10 of them, and they went on their merry way. They were going to re-enter into society, become a part of their communities again, because they had been exiled up until that point. And one of them decided to turn around and go back to Jesus, and he said, thank you. And to that one, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. The others were cleansed of their diseases, but only one had his soul cleansed. And that was the one who turned back and said thank you to Jesus Christ. And that's what happens to each and every one of us when we come to Christ by faith. We're actually saying thank you to him. And when we do, that healing takes place within our souls, just as you mentioned, Miles, and that's great news, isn't it? To have a soul that can say, it is well with my soul.
You bet.
Well, we sure appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you.
Good to hear from you as always, Miles. Well, you know, friends, many of you give month by month to help ensure that this message of God's love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ continues to march forward. You help to keep the good news going on the air and online. And this month, we're making Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who step forward with a donation to this work we call Basic Gospel. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net to make your donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, February 7th is coming, the trip to Israel. Is registration still open?
If somebody wants to go, yes, they can register. They need to get in touch with us very, very quickly.
Yeah, you can do that on our website at basicgospel.net. You'll see the link to make your registration for the Israel trip coming up beginning February 7th. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now, for Bob and Richard, the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us.